Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Let me ask you something. How do you know when somebody loves you? How do you know? What's that?
Through actions.
Oh. So you're a smart young lady. You're not going to just fall for the words.
Oh, I love you. You're beautiful.
You're not going to just fall for that. That's nice. That could be part of it, right? But actions. So young men, not yet, but in, 20, 30 years, when she's able to date, you're going to have to up your game. It's going to have to be actions, part of the package. Smart girl. Hey, how do you know when somebody loves you? That's a good question. By the way, pretty good answer. And we didn't even rehearse. But she knew it wasn't rhetorical. What would you say? What would your answer be? How do you know when somebody loves you? You know that you and I are called to a life of love, loving others, loving God, loving others. But when we love people as believers, when we love people, when we do some action of love that goes beyond just words like, hey, I love you, love you, brother, love you, friend, see you guys, love yous. When it goes beyond the words and it moves to action and you express love to somebody, let me ask you this. When you do that, simultaneously, whatever that action was that displays your love or kindness, simultaneously, do you have an expectation now of that person? You love somebody and you take an action, you send them a gift or you help them with money or you do something for them. Is there an expectation that you walk away with now? Well, they better send me a thank you. I'm not saying we shouldn't send thank yous, but is there an expectation? You lend, do you expect back? I paid for their lunch last time. Do you have an expectation that they owe you? You see, Jesus talks about loving, in Luke chapter 6, talks about a lot of places, but Luke chapter 6 specifically, he says when you love somebody or show an act of kindness or you give, do you expect them now to do the same back to you? He says even evil people know how to do that. But do we know how to love without expectation now from the person who is the recipient of our love? I mean, let's face it, it's nice for, reciprocity. They show appreciation back or they do something like that or they show some kindness. But when we love simultaneously somewhere, do we have an expectation of them because of the greatness we have done for them? Jesus talks about giving without expectation. He says, John 13, he says, love people like I loved you. Jesus came and he gave, right? He gave. You didn't even ask, But he knew your need, knows my need. And he gave. And not just some temporary gift. He laid down his life that you and I would be loved by him in action. He said he loved, but he backed it up with action. He's not a God who just says something and he's far removed. The Father made his Son put skin on and walk among us to show the Father's love for you and I. We weren't worthy. We didn't deserve it. But he loved you. He loves you. He loves me with all our messed up history, with all our self-righteousness, with all our scheming, with all our flaws, with all the things we think we do right that are just sometimes a total abomination to him. He loves you. It wasn't based on your performance. He loves you. You know, Matthew 25, verse 40, it talks about the church being free to love those who they can't, they're in a situation where they just can't help themselves. They're broken, they're weary, they're sick, they're hurt. Talks about widows who don't have someone to care for them. Bible talks about widows who are connected to a family, that the family should take care of them so the burden wouldn't be on the church, so the church would be free to take care of those who don't have family and become a family for those widows or for other people who don't have anybody and they can't care for themselves. Jesus talks about if you do things like invite them, the poor, the needy, the lonely, the broken. He says, if you do that to the least of these without expectation of return, he says, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto the Lord. When you lend to somebody who can't repay, you do a kindness, an expression of love to somebody where there's no expectation or they can't give back. I want you to know it's the Lord who owes, and he knows how to repay. He says, you will receive your reward on the day of resurrection. He's a good bookkeeper, and he's generous. That's the call. That's what we saw Jesus do. That's the call from our own life. You know, we know to love God and love other people. And Ephesians chapter 5 is an interesting chapter when he's talking about the church and he uses the parallel of a husband and a wife. Okay? This marvelous relationship. And of course, we know that the church is the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom, and that day will come and there will be a great wedding celebration, marriage celebration, and the great feast. And we know that to come. But it says, husbands, love your wives like you love yourself. Love your wives like Christ loves you. It's such a tall order. And you've heard me talk about this before. If you maybe have been to weddings I perform, many times I will bring this passage to light. And, love isn't really love until it's been tested. Back when I met Sue and we started dating, there were different points in the relationship where I could have exited, could have got out. Well, her too, but I'm just talking from my perspective. But, you know, it's like you heard the term, well, our relationship's going to the next level, right? Going to the next level, going to the next level. I want you to know, it's like going up this stairwell. And if you've gone up large stairwells, you know, every floor there, you can get off the stairwell. It's an exit door, man. It's an exit door. And I found, Harry, I found myself staying in this relationship with Sue when I could have gotten out. And I kept passing the exit doors. And I just kept going to the next level. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but I dated other young women besides her. Don't ask questions. This is not the point of the message. But I, you know, it's where I got out of other relationships where I got the exit door. But I found myself staying in this relationship with her. And, you know, you stay in and you go to the next level, you start to get to know the person a little more. You see a little bit of the crazy come out. In both parties. And you choose to stay. Now, we sometimes think, oh, yeah, that's when, you know, you're dating and you're holding hands and it's all exciting in there, you know, and, you know, she always looks good because, you know, she's always getting ready. And, you know, you just get into this, and there's a lot of emotion, a lot of excitement, a lot, you know, affection and thoughts, and they're always on your mind no matter what you're doing and when you're apart from them, you know, all that stuff. And it's good, and it's fun, and it's exciting. But, you know, they say things like, well, you're young like that, you know, love is blind. Which means that you're not paying attention. You are so inebriated on this person of beauty and what that you don't pay attention to their flaws. It's like, yeah, whatever. She's beautiful. You know, she holds my hand. You know. And for her, you know, it's—I don't know—that it's quite the same. You know, they get excited and passionate, you know, and ooh, and all of that. And sometimes, you know, women, because of some generalities in the way they're wired, they're more in love with love than the guy. Because you know, we smell, you know. So, you know, so you go through these things that you feel, and they say, oh, it's young love, love is blind, they don't pay attention. You know, so I understand the phrase, but this is what I want to throw out to you. I wonder if you and I would love people better if we were blind. We wouldn't see their flaws. We maybe wouldn't see their nationality or the clothes they wear or whatever else in your view that seems to be substandard to your preference and who you think is worthy of your love. Well, I want you to know that that's love that's not tested. And when love is not tested, it's just not love. You can call it that all you want. You see, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, we'll look there. And, you know, it's the love chapter, but I want to read a couple verses here, 4 through 7. I want you to pay attention to something. Listen to this. Love is patient. Okay, let's pause right there. That means that love is going to be tested because people are going to agitate you. They're going to aggravate you. You are going to get anxious. They're going to do things different than you do. They're going to have little, you know, quirks. Big, big quirks. And if you are going to be a believer in Jesus, to love them, you have to be patient. If people don't bother you, they don't annoy you, then your love's not tested, and there is no call, no demand upon your person to have to be patient, because it's easy. And love is patient, and next is love is kind. It's being kind to someone who is not kind to you. Let me ask you, how well are you loving people? Because love is not love. I want to submit that to you. It is not until it has been tested and it draws out of you and you see the result. Is it impatient or is it love? Is it unkindness or is it love? What's coming out of you? What are you giving to people? Strangers and those you know, in the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, in your home, outside your home, at work, in the marketplace. All the places that we're supposed to let the light of Jesus Christ shine and to love them like he has loved you, because I want you to know, I've talked to the Lord, you have not been that easy. And I know because I am one of you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love doesn't boast. Love's not arrogant. You ever been in a relationship with somebody who you love or someone you are supposed to love? And you ever have a little argument, little dispute? Have you ever found yourself in the argument to the point now you are not arguing about what is right? You're arguing all of a sudden to look right. Truth is, it's gone. Now you're arguing to the point so that you look right and you win the argument. The badge of honor. Another trophy in all the arguments you've won. You get to put it in that big, vast room. But all of a sudden, it's about winning the argument. Let me give you a little tip about winning an argument with a person you love, especially when it's the person you're going home with. You do not win. Now, I'm not saying you can't argue and you can't have debates and there's one person that might be more right than the other person, but now when it comes to how well did I love you in the argument, did I get arrogant? Was it about me? Was it about winning? Or now I'm just being arrogant because you're hurting my feelings and now, you know, it's about me. It's no longer about what you're discussing. Now it's about what we're feeling and how we're treating each other and what we don't feel and all of a sudden, just so selfish. How well are we loving each other? Love is not rude. You ever have anybody who loves you be rude to you? Somehow when they are, we feel like it gives us license to be rude back. That's not love. yeah, but they, well, they're not loving me very. No, we're not talking about them. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. It's not based upon what the other person does. Love is being tested, and I'm being tested to see if love is coming out of me. And if I really love this person. Love does not insist on its own way. Let me just read it again so you know I didn't read it wrong. Love does not insist on its own way. I will tell you that in most things in life, there's more than one way to do something and get a good outcome, other than being disobedient to the Scripture. This is the only way. Listen to this. Love is not irritable. I don't care what's happening in you hormonally. Men. That's right. Hey, listen. All that stuff is real, and we can come up with reasons of why we're short that day, or we're too tired, or I'm hungry. We're all challenged with those things. I've had a long day, or I had to deal with a lot of problems today, and you come home, or whatever it is, or you know, you've had a long day, and you're on your way, and you just want to get home, and then you bump into somebody. You know what? They need help. Will we love them? Will we take time for them? Will we somehow allow the love of God, the way He loved us, to come out and love them? You see, love really isn't love until it's been tested and it comes out in actions. Hey, the words are still important. You can't get away with, hey, I told you on our wedding day I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. You still got to say it. You still got to tell them. You still got to let that out. As long as the actions are backing it up. Yeah, we're a people who are called to love. This whole 1 Corinthians 13, when you look at the attributes of love, you know, like love doesn't keep a record of wrong. Oh, I'm going to save that one. I'm going to lock that one into the real quick access file. So when we go at it again, or you say something to me, I can go, oh yeah, remember when you, because I want to win. I want you to feel bad so that I am the winner. I mean, that's what's really going on if you put it into words. You know, I found out that I loved Sue because it was a realization, not just a feeling. I realized that I kept in the stairwell and I never took the exit doors. I was choosing to love her. She's still with me. And she's had to make choices to stay and to love me. We were walking along just day before yesterday. We met at the camper. We're going for a little walk. And holding hands, and I started to voice gee, we've been together a pretty long time. Think that we would have made it this long. You know? So there's been a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of forgiveness. Oh, a lot of forgiveness. She kind of got a half smile and she said, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do. Sounds really anti-romantic, doesn't it? That's okay. Romance gets a little fleeting at times, doesn't it? Those of you with experience go, yeah. But give me the real deal, the real love. Romance still needs to take initiative, and you still need to do that. But we got to love people better. Jesus instructs us to do it. You know, love sees. Love is not blind. You see, it's when you actually see and you still love. That's love. Love's not blind. Because God is love. And God is not blind. He sees. And He still loves you. He loves you. And He calls us to love people better. You know, John chapter 14, this is one of the hard things. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Oh. You know, do you love God when He tells you something you don't like to hear? Because it's easy to what we call love when you hear what you like. I love you, you're beautiful, you're a hard worker, you're la 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 la. And then you get, honey, I love you, but listen to me. You can't do this. You can't be critical. You can't, you know, talk to the kids like that. Hey, listen, you know. And we don't always like what we hear from somebody we love. What about from the Lord? He gave His life for you. We got His love. But what about when you hear something from Him you don't like? Your flesh doesn't like it. I want you to know that you and I have the ability to silence good voices in our life. We do things like this with people who love us, trying to help us, but they say things or come up with standards or rules or instructions or whatever it is, parent, anybody, boss, spouse, and they say something we don't like. It's interesting how we try to discredit them in our minds so that we feel like we don't have to listen to them. Or we discredit them to other people so that when we don't listen to them, we look like we're okay and we're doing what's right in the eyes of others. Tricky, deceptive stuff we do. Later on down the road, because you hitched your wagon to love is blind, and later down the road, you awaken to legitimate flaws and shortcomings to the person you're with, and now these things are stronger than the love is blind passion that you had in the beginning. Or we've silenced good voices in our life and we end up down the road somewhere and we think, why is my life turned out like this? I'm so disappointed. I feel like I'm messed up and all my sin. I just... And then you even get bold to say things, you know, if you were a loving God, my life shouldn't have turned out like this. Listen, it's not a question if he was a loving God. The question is, why did we not love him? Because he's a loving God. You see, we start to do things instead of when love is tested. We silence good voices. We silence good counsel. And so, you know, when you're down the road and you go, why has my life turned out like this? I have answers for you, and not because I'm smart. We can go back when we started to set a pattern of silencing good voices, including the Lord's in our life. Hey, you can go back to when you were young. Youth camp. I'm not listening to that counselor. I'm not listening to the camp director. Forget the youth pastor. I'm going to do my own thing. Your parents or your parent. You said, I'm going to rebel against that. You know what? I'm not going to listen to the preacher on Sunday. You just silence some decent voices. We do it in our life, and we start to set this pattern. And then this is how we operate. And we get down the road, and we go, how come life's turning out like this? I can tell you, it started way back here, Randy, when you were this old and you decided to start to do things the way you wanted and how you wanted and when you wanted, and you justified it and you thought you were the smart guy and then you get down the road and we act all surprised. And then we say, God, where are you? If you were loving, and the question is not as if he's loving, the question is, do we love him? Because it will change our course, because if we loved him, we would obey him. That's what the scripture says. That's a hard teaching. But you and I, we're supposed to love him better. We're supposed to love people better. And I got to get closer to him, because we all run into the temptation of being a little impatient or a little arrogant, a little selfish. We think our argument's better of why we don't have to love somebody according to the standard of love. So the question is this morning, how well are you and I loving people? Matthew 22, closing scripture verse. Felicia, you can come if you would. Thank you so much. Jesus was quizzed. What's the most important law? Listen to this. What's the most important law? And Jesus replies, he says, the first is, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, with all your strength. He said, and then the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. I hate when my vehicle breaks down and you're on a trip or you're out of town. I've had it happen a couple of times. My life, actually more than that. I was turning down the road, a rural road. There was a vehicle pulled over. It was two older ladies. I said, what are they gonna do? Now, I'm not a mechanic by any stretch. Not by any stretch. But I pulled up and I put my window down. And I said, you ladies okay? She pulled out her cell phone. She said, yeah, we've called and we've got tow truck coming in. You know, and so they had a plan in motion. I didn't have to do anything. But I didn't know. I thought I probably would. How do you help? What do you do? When you see somebody broke down in life, can you remember when you were broken? Can you remember? Boy, when you're broke down, you discover you need help. You need a helping hand. Could you and I be moved with compassion that Jesus had on us when we were broken by sin? You remember how he rescued? Can we now take that love for us and give it to other people who are hurting or broke down somewhere? Can we refrain from telling them why it's all their fault and everything they did wrong? Can we just help them? Without expectation. I've had it happen over the years where I stop and I help and pull somebody out and do whatever and or help and you know, some want to pay you. It's like, I've been broke down, Jake. And I didn't always have the 20 bucks or 50 bucks to give somebody. And the Lord helped me. Somehow we figured it out. And I'm here. I'm still not out on the highway somewhere. Can we just help people and love them? Without expectation for repayment. Because that's how he loved you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.